ladies, seriously, this message has been on my heart, and God has been working in my mind and through the scriptures and through the study for us to talk about this very first landmine that can be in a Plan A woman's mind. Now, you know from last week and from your study and the introduction and the welcome that what we've already addressed is that we were created to be a Plan A woman. God created us in His image. And that included the image of His mind, His emotions, His will. You and I were created to be able to have communion with the Lord God Almighty, to walk with Him, for things to be right, for there not to be sin. However, in the testing and through the giving in to Satan's temptations of Eve, sin did enter the world, and our world became Plan B. Our world became Plan B. And now the question is, how do we, as Plan A women, who still have in our innermost hearts that knowledge of who we are to be and how things are supposed to be right, how do we as Plan A women navigate as a Christian through our Plan B world? How many of you would agree and would say, in case you weren't here last week, my life is not what I would call Plan A in every single regard. There are some good Plan A things, but I also have had a share of Plan Bs. And we all know that. And so today, as we look at this very first, what we are calling landmine is being used for a term for us to help us understand that as we navigate through our world, some things can start happening in our minds. And we know that how we think affects our behavior, doesn't it? It all starts with what we put in our mind and what we allow to come into our minds. And so if we have something in our thought life, in our mind, in our attitude, in our emotions, that it is not of God, not of our Creator, then that has the potential to maim us, to hurt us, and to hurt people that we come in contact with. And we laughingly made a comment last week about, have you ever felt like if somebody said one more word to you, you might blow up? But if you have ever experienced, maybe you didn't blow up, you may be a very mild-mannered person, you may have blown up. But whatever the circumstance, you know what it's like to feel that sometimes there's something going on inside of you and it's not what you would call peaceful. And that thing is in your mind, it's in your heart. And so today we are going to examine how sometimes we can decide in our hearts and minds how things ought to be. We call those expectations. We have expectations of how you're going to treat me. I have expectations of how you're going to be. We have some expectations that are very understandable. They are God-given, that if you're married, your husband is faithful, that you may have the very desire to be married, because Eve was created as a helpmate to Adam. So we know that there are some expectations that we have that are what we would call very normal expectations. But then there can also be some expectations that we never thought would be there, some things that happened that we never expected. You probably, most of you know that my husband is a judge here. And since Keith has been in that position, we are aware of more and more things going on than we ever had been before. And we might say to one another, I would never have expected that. We do not expect people who call on the name of Christ to abuse their children, do we? That's not a good expectation. We do not expect a man to abuse his wife. That is not a good expectation. And so we see that in life we have a variety. We have both good expectations. We have things that happen that we would never expect to happen. And when those expectations occur, they can become as landmines in our minds if we do not properly deal with them. Now, the hope that God wants to give you and me is that sometimes there is another kind of occurrence that happens in our lives. We didn't expect it to happen, so it kind of throws us for a loop, but it isn't throwing God for a loop. As a matter of fact, it's the very thing He ordained for our lives. consider with me, if you would, for just a moment, how we can look at some of the biblical women that we were introduced to last week, and just think with me for a minute about how, if you had been any one of these women, you might have said, this could not be plan A. This could not be plan A. God, get me out of this situation. This could not be plan A. Think about Eve, when all of a sudden they were cast from the garden. This could not be plan A, and it wasn't. But God's plan A was to restore them. What about Noah's wife, when she's on this ark with all these animals? She would have had to, oh, please, don't you agree? She would have had to have just walked through there and held her nose and said, this can't be plan A. This cannot be plan A. But it was God's plan A to rescue a remnant of the righteous out of the world. It was where she was supposed to be. We can imagine how Sarah felt when year after year and year after year she could not get pregnant. And she had to just sit there and say, this is just not plan A. Plan A, we were supposed to have a baby. And how many of you have perhaps thought after you were married, God, this isn't right. I expected to be able to get pregnant. Or you may know somebody that had that very same thing, and they just expected to be able to get pregnant. But they didn't. Or they didn't in the timing that they expected. Esther. Did Esther expect to be a queen? No. Did she expect to be put in the position, once she was a queen, of the whole nation depending on if she went in and asked for the mercy of her king and husband? What I believe that God is trying to teach you and me through the biblical examples and contemporary examples is, when we are in a situation and we are wanting to recoil from it, and we are wanting to say, I'm not supposed to be taking care of these grandkids. My daughter was, but she's not owning up to her responsibility. I wasn't supposed to be going through this circumstance. I simply invite you to consider letting God use that moment in a way that maybe you never expected. Even sometimes when it's illnesses, difficult situations at work, financial situations. Now, as we look at your listening guide, I want us to look at how, are we tied to earthly expectations, or do we claim the heavenly hope that we have when we're going through those circumstances that make us want to step back and say, no, 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 no. Because if we do not learn how to hold on to the hope cord that we have in Christ, we are going to be doing some maiming. We are going to be doing some damaging. We're going to be letting some landmines lie in our hearts and our minds. Our principle that we see today is that hope in Christ is a cord. It is a cord to which a plan A woman can cling when expectations go unmet in a plan B world. And I would have loved to have been a fly on the wall in your discussion groups, because one of the questions that was asked this week was, did you ever have a situation be plan B, but then you saw how God worked through it? Can I just see your hands? How many have said, I thought something was going to be horrible, but God did end up working through it? So that is our encouragement. Psalm 71:14, would you read that verse with me? I will hope continually and will praise you yet more and more. We see in our plan B world that our expectations often fail to be met. And in those moments, our minds are fragile ground. They are also fertile ground. They are fertile ground for the enemy to come in and plant a landmine of bitterness, resentment, whatever it might be. Satan tempts us to love ourselves, ladies. He really does. He still does that. He tempts us to love ourselves and our interest rather than God's. God tells us to prepare our minds for action. So hear that word today. God tells us to prepare our minds for action and to hope in Him. Look at 1 Peter 1:13, in case you're not familiar with that verse. 1 Peter 1:13 is at the very back of your Bible, before John and Revelation. And it's a wonderful book. Peter, who was one of the disciples of Jesus, knew very well what it was like to be tempted of Satan and to fall. And so he writes to us what we need to do with our minds, and he says that we need to prepare our minds for action. We need to keep sober in spirit. We need to fix our hope, Peter writes, fix it completely on the grace to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. One thing that I've learned and that God is continually reminding me of, and I love this about him, and I hope that you do, is that when bad things happen, and they happen to all of us, when bad things happen is for me just to stop for just a moment instead of just letting my mind run away and me just walking all over landmines. If I'm upset with her and this makes me furious and I don't know what I'm going to do and I don't see any good way out of it and all of these different emotions that can flood our minds, right? When we take in and we process some information that's happened. And I've just had this happen last week because we're going to be talking about Satan and exposing him and being equipped today. And I guarantee you, I am always going through something very trying and testing me before I get up here to teach you. So do not think that I've ever just pranced up here and I'm giving a casual little lesson that I think might sound good or that I've downloaded from the internet. No. You know, preachers can do that. But no, these lessons have gone very hard through me before I ever come to you. But the thing that God is teaching me to do is that instead of continuing walking on that landmine and letting these negative emotions flood my mind and heart and soul, is to stop and say, God, I don't know why this is happening, but I trust that you have a plan in it. And that is what, when we look at this cord, this is what it means that we look at, because this word hope it's a cord. If we had this, I actually asked our maintenance man if we could do this, and then I decided it was too much trouble to him. But what I would have liked to have done was to have taken this cord and to have tied it to the cross and to have shown us that this is what, ladies, we are to hold on to when we're despairing of every single other thing. You see, if I have my friend and she's holding this cord and she's the one I'm depending on, the one that my whole balance of mind, my ability to function and get through the day, my perspective, if it is tied to her, what's going to happen? I'm going to be disappointed. Ladies, we must learn to immediately, anytime some expectation of ours is not fulfilled, we need to train our minds to immediately say, you know what? I am disappointed in this situation. I am angry over this situation, but I have a cord of hope to whom I hold, and his name is Jesus. As you look at your listening guide, we see this question, what can we do when expectations come crashing down? Well, first, we can acknowledge with the psalmist, you are my hope. A Christian recently said to me, I know you think I should have hope, but I just don't. And the reason the person said that, it was a lady, the reason the lady said that is because it had been a long period of things not changing. And what can happen when over a long period of time you don't see what you're longing for? But you as a Christian, never, never, don't you buy that lie that you have no hope that things will change. If you are only holding on to earthly expectations, you have every reason to believe that. But if you are holding on to the Creator of the universe, the Lord God Almighty, girlfriend, you have hope. You have hope. Things can change. Things can be different. Things can be better. So we need to hold on to that. Second, if our expectations have caused us to come crashing down, we can confess. Our second point is we can confess if our anger and disappointment are because we've had our expectations tied to a person or an idea other than God. There are times that we may need to say, Lord, I realize that the reason that I am so upset and angry is because I wanted this person to do something and they didn't do it. Now, let's just admit it. You may say, well, my husband told me he was going to help me take care of the children if we had children. And now he works till 7 and I've already put him to bed and he doesn't help me at all. I expected him to help. So sometimes we can realize that we have expectations and we're just upset, we're mad. Again, if our expectations and anger and disappointment are tied to not some sin that a person is committing, but or is tied to just something that we have decided is the standard for that person to live by, then we may need to reassess and confess. Third, we need to recognize if we've been more interested in our desires than God's plans. I didn't want to receive a diagnosis of ovarian cancer when I was 29. Cynthia, you didn't want to have a cancer diagnosis. My friend Pam Canaley, she didn't want her husband to walk in after 10 years and tell her he didn't love her anymore and leave her. But today, Pam has a ministry called Arise, and she leads single women conferences throughout the United States, and she is doing a good work for God. I believe that God wants to, again, as I said earlier, He wants to place in our minds that we are not just here to live for ourselves. That's hard. That's a hard one. But we truly are not here just to live for ourselves. God has an eternal plan. He is moving us somewhere. We live in this generation, if we are a Christian, to serve His purposes. And so we need to recognize if we've been more interested in our desires than God's plans. In Isaiah 55:9, He says, "As high as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts." So when our plan A expectations come crashing down, the very best thing that you and I can do is go and kneel before the Lord and say, "Father, I am so upset about this. This is not what I asked for. This is not what I wanted. This wasn't part of the deal. But God, what do you want me to do in it? How do you want me to respond?" That totally changes everything. And fourth, ladies, this is critical. We must reign over our thoughts. We must reign. Do you remember in the Garden of Eden where God created Adam and Eve to reign, to master, to rule over every living thing? What living thing did Eve not reign over? She did not reign over Satan. Do you reign over temptations when he tempts you? Let me help you and me process that again. In the Garden of Eden, God told Adam and Eve to rule, to reign over every living thing. Who did Eve not rule over? She did not rule over the serpent who tempted her to not believe God's word. Let me ask you again. As God told Cain, then her son, "Why is your countenance fallen?" "My countenance has fallen because this expectation has not been being met, and I expected it to be." "Why has your countenance fallen? If you do well, will not your countenance be lifted up? But if you do not do well, sin is crouching at the door. Its desire is for you. You must master it. You must reign over it." That's what this lesson is about, is you reigning over your thoughts and your emotions. It's about you reigning over temptation. We have been given and created with that desire and that innate ability to rule with God, to reign with Him. He has gifted us to be able to master sin through the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. We can't reign over Satan. We can't reign over temptation alone. That's why He has left the Holy Spirit in us and with us. Christ can. He does the work. But we have to be the vessel, the instrument. Romans 5:3-8 calls us to choose and to believe that even though we're going through some serious disappointment, even though some expectation is lying in our minds like a landmine and then about to blow our marriage, blow our relationship with a child, blow up at work, whatever, we're reminded in Romans 5 that Paul writes, and he says, "Not only this, we also exult in our tribulations." knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance, and perseverance proven character. Anybody in here want to say, boy, my character's been being proven? That's what he wants. And proven character brings about hope. And hope does not what? Disappoint. Because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. So you've got God's Spirit in you, and you do not ever have to say those words again, I have no hope. Yes, you have a heavenly hope, regardless of what earthly expectation, warranted or not warranted, comes crashing down on you. Would you just say those words, I have a heavenly hope. I have a cord straight to the heavenlies. And there is a very good word in here. Oh, I want you to understand what this word exalt. In the NIV, it says, rejoice with the hope of... I have the New American Standard, which says also exalt in our tribulations. And that word exalt means glory. And listen to this. It's extremely important. Glory, whether with reason or without. I'm going to glory, whether I have reason to or I don't, to glory on account of a thing, to glory in a thing. And that means, and I've seen it. I've seen it. And some of my Christian friends, it is the most awesome thing. When we say to each other, this is a horrible situation. I don't like this. But you know what? I know God is sovereign, and I know God is in control. That woman is glorying. She's glorifying God to me. And when I can say those words to you, which I pray I can sometime, then I am exalting, even in the tribulation. Ladies, this, if you do this, this makes you peculiar. It does. It makes you peculiar. It makes you distinct. It makes you salt. It makes you light in the world. And it's what the world is so desperately looking for. The world is looking for hope, and you're able to draw them. So we see this principle that Christ is a cord to which I can hope, I can cling and glory. Even when expectations go unmet in a plan B world, why can I glory in them? I can glory in them because I have a cord I'm holding on to, and it's Christ. But there's something else, a word of assurance here, and that is my hope is in Christ, but he also is holding on to me. What if I turn loose? What if in the darkest of nights I despair? What if I crumble apart and I start to turn loose? He's holding me. And that's why I have those pictures for you here. On one retreat I was leading in New Mexico, the afternoon program said ropes course. So I thought that meant everybody at the event was going to go do the ropes course. Do you see those five little young people that I'm with in the very first picture? I show up and I'm like, well, where is everybody? And there are these cute little athletic girls there. And they're like, oh, it was just for whoever wanted to sign up. And I was like, oh, well, I might not do it then. I have never done the ropes course, so I'm just really not really wanting to. But I thought I was supposed to because it was on the program. So I've learned. I've also done that once where I showed up and taught in my pajamas because the program said pajama party tonight. And so I thought we were all wearing our pajamas to the evening event. And I teach in my pajamas. Well, they've got on theirs. I teach in my pajamas. And then afterwards, some of the ladies are just giggling and they say, you know, you're the first speaker we've ever had that really wore her pajamas. And I was like, I am? Well, then don't put pajama party. I'm going to get a little wiser to the next. I check the programs out better now. I'm a little bit more experienced. But here I am on the ropes course. There are more pictures if you want to see them on my blog or Facebook or something. But I mean, I am literally looking up there like this, and I'm like, my goodness. And then the first thing you have to do is you have to climb this telephone pole. Well, if you see these pictures of me, I'm just gripping the telephone pole because that telephone pole is all of a sudden high in the air. Who in here has done the ropes course? You know what I'm talking about? Well, y'all were probably just so brave and athletic. I wasn't. I sit and read and study all day. So, you know, here I am just a little Bible study nerd and going up a pole. And so I really am. I'm already thinking this is hard, just climbing up the pole. So once we get up there, I don't know what, I think I thought that the cord that you walk across, see that second thing, you see, I thought it was going to be stable. That's what I expected. I thought I would get up there and just walk along the stable cord, and I thought the challenge was it was so narrow, but I thought it would be stable. I put my big fat right foot on that cord, and it goes, woo! And I'm like, and y'all, I am reenacting. I shouldn't tell this story because my heart is just starting to pound right now. I was just like, and I'm looking down, and this cord is going like this, and these young little girls are yelling, try to stabilize. And I'm like, you know, up in the air with two wobbly cords. There I am in the very middle. I was scared to death. I wanted down so bad. I made it. I thought I couldn't make it. I thought I could not make it. I was praying harder than I think I've probably ever prayed. I finally make it across this thing. And then I'm like, how do I get down? How do I get down, please? And they're like, oh, well, you can go on and do the next one. And I'm like, I don't think so. And so they're like, well, you have to go back in the center of the rope again. And I'm just like, I was shaken to death. And there I go. And I go back to the center. And then this man down on the ground goes, okay, now you need to lean back as far as you can and turn loose. And I'm like, I had to unbuckle something. I can't remember exactly how it worked, but all I knew was I had to turn loose. And so I go back, 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 back. And that's that third picture you see where I'm just going back, 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 back. Here's the point. He had a rope where he was holding onto me. And you may not see that you're all strapped in and that God's got you. But he is your hope cord. You have a hope. So when these expectations come crashing down, hold on to him. But remember, he is also holding on to you. The second thing we want to see, and this is so critical, is how we prepare our minds for action. Because Peter writes and he says, prepare your mind for action. Prepare your mind for action. So how do we do this? Well, first of all, we need to recognize that just as Jemba Beston, you see the picture I have for her of you? That is her team of women that are demining landmines in Sudan. And we talked last week about how the war has been over, but the enemy had already planted these landmines in the ground. Now they're wanting to build a school. They can't until somebody does the work of going through there very carefully and getting rid of the landmines. When that ground is cleared, they'll be able to build a wonderful, glorious school. Guess what? If God could just take our little brains right now, he would just say, this is what I want to do. Before you came to know Christ, you had some things already planted in your little mind, already planted in your little genetic system, already planted in there. And not only that, since you became a Christian, you've also had some things that have come in there, some garbage, right? And so we need to get these out because his objective, as we said at the very first, is to conform us to the very image of Christ. Satan's idea is to deform us. And you see this on our first two points. Our mind is a battleground. And God's objective is to transform us, as Romans 12, 1 and 2 says, transform us by renewing our minds. Would you say, God wants to renew my mind?
God wants to renew my mind.
Would you say, if you believe it, I want a renewed mind?
I want a renewed mind.
Is there anything you wish was not in your mind? Seriously, is there anything you just wish you could get out? You can. Did you know you can rebuild a new positive memory, a healthy memory, over any toxic bad memory in your mind? It is being scientifically proven. And I want to share with you, this is from Dr. Caroline Leaf, who wrote the book, Who Switched Off My Brain. Listen attentively. Engage your minds. This is so important and so critical because we are going to learn that we have that choice. And that is what this is all about. The function of the hippocampus in your brain is to hold incoming information from the external world, information you get from the five senses, and your internal world, that's your memory networks and corresponding emotional molecules. Now, let me repeat that. The hippocampus holds incoming information. It does this for a short period of time until your free will either accepts it or rejects the information. Free will is linked to motivation and choice, and therefore attitude. Once information is flowing through the hippocampus towards the front of the brain near the free will area, the information becomes amplified. It's at this point that you make a decision about whether or not you will analyze certain information. When you don't pay serious attention to information flowing through your hippocampus, at least not within the first 24 to 72 hours after you receive it, the hippocampus simply discharges the information as heat energy. You know how sometimes we'll say, well, that just happened yesterday and I can't remember it. It's because we didn't spend time pondering it, thinking it, processing it. Thoughts you don't deal with properly become suppressed and can cause emotional and physical harm. Now, God knew what he was doing when he said, do not be conformed to this world. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. He is saying, we have control over our minds. More control, dear friend, than you and I realized we have. We have more control over our minds. And our minds and our thought lives determine to a large extent our destiny, don't they? Because they affect our actions. They affect our words. Now, Satan and the world would like for us just to think, these things are being done to me. I can't help how I respond. That is not the truth. That is not the truth. She writes in this book, it is also true that the mind is a battleground. Is that not what God has been teaching us? Listen, with ongoing conflict between toxic thoughts and good thoughts, thoughts that serve your mental and physical health well, and thoughts that deplete your body and mind of health. A wealth of scientific evidence supports the manifold benefits of engaging in the battle. War cry, anyone? Actively pouring good and correct information into your mind and body through your brain. She writes, you can literally build a new network of new memories over the old. She explains how every thought is like a little magical tree. And if you accept good thoughts, it would be like if little dewdrops were coming down here, you would see this. It would be a healthy tree with little dewdrops showing positive, good emotions. But if you have toxic thoughts, bad thoughts, you're going to have a very limp tree with fewer branches. But I want to encourage you, what you are doing in Bible study, you are building good thoughts. When you read and study the Bible at home and answer the questions, you are building your mind. As a matter of fact, she writes and she talks about the difference in the right brain and left brain, and I want us to understand this because it's what we're doing in here. It's what we're doing right now. Right now, it's what we're doing. She says the brain builds a double memory of the content of a thought. The brain builds a double memory. Right side, left side. And she explains that the left brain, for instance, will see 2 times 2 equals 4. The right side will see 4 is composed of 2 times 2. And the more those work together, the more they are going to understand and grasp that mathematical concept. And it will become rooted in them. It will flourish in them. It is a strong, good memory that they have. This process of the two hemispheres, she says that they're designed to work together in synergy. So, ladies, what this means is that the more focused and the more aware you are and the more you think, the more you think, and the more you bring the good, true thoughts into your mind, the healthier you are making your brain, the stronger your intelligence and ability is to deal with whatever life throws at you. And so we look at this and we see that God tells us there is no greater, higher learning and comprehension than this word, because this also engages our spirits. Isn't that fascinating? When I read the Bible, I'm engaging my mind. I'm engaging my senses when I use this tree to explain something to you. When then I, during the week, am tested by Satan and tempted, I am experiencing it in person, physically. I am being given the choice in my mind whether to accept that negative thing I want to think about that person, or if I'm going to remember Ephesians 4:32, be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as Christ has forgiven you. I've got that verse stored. I can call it up forward. It can become a part of the network of my mind and spirit that can help me make right decisions that affect my life and my destiny. God has a good word for you. If an expectation that you think should happen or doesn't happen, whatever it may be aware that you have a choice in your thought life to accept being mad, angry, depressed, frustrated, resentful, bitter. If you do that, Dr. Leaf explains how that is like accepting a thorn. She says it looks like thorns in your brain. She calls those toxic emotions. And so if you were to look inside your brain and you have bitterness and anger and unforgiveness, you would not see near this many pretty leaves, but you'd see a lot of thorns. And your memory system would look a lot more like thorn bushes than a healthy tree with positive emotions. Now, what do you want? Seriously, what do we want? And so that is why God says, do not be conformed to this world. Don't respond like the world responds. So when you're studying at home, you're doing something for your mind, your spirit, your emotions, and your will. When you come to the discussion group and you verbalize it, you are strengthening your thoughts and your brains and your intelligence. When you listen and process what the other women are saying, you are putting another level of strength. The strong, intelligent minds have dense networks of that looks like this. The lesser intelligent people have very sparse networks. When you're studying, you go to your group, you write down your answer, you speak it, you listen, you come in here, you're getting this word rooted, strengthened in your mind so you're better able to be equipped. Isn't that wonderful how God does that? We are just now learning how this works. We see our third point is that the Bible is a sentinel at the door of our mind. Picture a little guard with its little gun here. And that is what the Bible is. It's a little guard. I cannot think of any better way to tell you this, because seriously, thoughts come at us all the time. They come at us. And Ephesians 6 tells us that the enemy has flaming arrows that he targets us with, correct? And so those come. And we also have just our own thoughts that are not always pure and healthy and are not yet conformed. But all we have to do is have this here. I brought something that I wanted to show you because I just think it's such a good illustration. It's like before anything I accept any thought in my brain, it needs to go through the sieve of God's Word, doesn't it? It really does. I mean, we need to just all put on our helmets and sing "Onward, Christian Soldiers," because this is what we're supposed to be doing. We truly are. He tells us he has given us the helmet of salvation. And the salvation is not just the salvation for after we die and we go to heaven. It's this power of our current salvation. And so we should never just react to our children, react to our spouse. Is my hair flat? We should never just react to all of the world like we just didn't even have a helmet. Because we do. We have God's Word through which, and I've been practicing this. I really have. I don't wear it at home. Keith wouldn't be surprised, would he, Luce? Keith just sees me with all my things when I'm going to Bible study. It looks like I'm going to a cooking class. But I've been doing this, and every time something comes at me, I check it against the Word of God. You know, that's what Jesus did in the temptations, didn't he? And if it doesn't pass inspection, you have those 24 hours. You have that time period to reject it. Isn't that cool? Well, you reject those thoughts. You go home and get your strainer out and put it on your head. You do that. I wanted to go the Dollar Tree and buy all of you one, and then I realized that would be $200, and my ministry doesn't have that to spare. Sorry. Let's look at this, though, seriously. Our fourth point is a Plan A woman in a Plan B world must remember that what man means for evil, God means for good. You recall that with Joseph? God does mean for good. And we can live out loud, ladies. We can live out loud. We can process our experiences through our hope in God. We can process our experiences through our hope in God and His eternal perspective. So I want you to think about your situation you're going through. I want you to apply it. God wants us to put on the full armor of God. Diffuse the landmines. We have to be armed to diffuse these landmines. We cannot, in our own strength, get rid of bitterness, anger, hate, unforgiveness, unkindness. It's not going to happen. We have to put on God's armor. God tells us that very clearly. Turn very quickly to Ephesians 6 before we wind this up, because this is extremely important. We understand the principle that a landmine begins with a thought. And we want to live out loud. We want to be these women that now we are doing this thing. We are working it. Did you work it last week? Did you work it last week? Okay, good. We want to work this. We want to apply this synergy. We want to have our brain work in both parts, working together to produce this good strengthening in our minds and in our spirits. And I want you to just look at Ephesians 6, because here we go. Here we go. The very first point we see is that Ephesians 6:10 says, "Be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might." Okay, we have to process this in our brains. We can't just read it and then have it. We have to believe it. We have to personalize it. Just read this with me. "I cannot fight this battle in my own strength. However, I can be strong in the Lord and the strength of His might." Pray in the Holy Spirit, the scripture teaches us. Would you just pray this with me? "Lord, fill me with the strength of Your might to walk through my day and handle my situation." Okay, now I have just done three things. I have read it in the Bible. I have chosen to believe it with my will. I have personalized it and said it in my own words, and I have prayed it. That's synergy. You're replacing a toxic thought with a truth. So when the enemy says, "Well, you're just not ever going to change," you watch me. I just pray in the Holy Spirit to be strong in the strength of His might, not mine. And I know little wimpy Debbie can't stand against your scheme, Satan, but I've got the big guns here fighting for me. Amen. Let's look at another one. Second, put on the full armor of God that you'll be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. Let's personalize it. Read it with me. I have the full armor of God by which I can stand firm against the devil's schemes. Pray it in the Holy Spirit. Lord, arm me so I can stand, and not just stand, but stand firm. Our third point is recognize that your struggle isn't against flesh and blood. Oh, ladies, please. When your husband's making you mad, when your child is about to make you pull out your hair, when they're hooked on drugs, when your husband's hooked on pornography, when your boss is meaner than the dickens, memorize this verse. Your struggle is not against flesh and blood. They've got somebody tangling them up. Believe it. Personalize it. My struggle is not against flesh and blood. There are powers. Read it. There are powers. There are world forces of darkness, spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places interested in me and my family. And then we see we can pray, Father, thank you for the warning that this situation is about more than me. It's about your kingdom and what you're trying to accomplish. I love you and praise you for exposing the enemy. Thank you for helping me understand who my struggle is with. Fourth, take up the full armor of God so that you'll be able to resist and stand firm. We've already gone over this a little bit. And also our fifth point, stand firm. Number six, put on the full armor of God. And he says here in verses 14 through 17, gird your loins with truth. Ladies, this word truth means true in any matter under consideration. Our society is teaching, well, it just depends on how you look at it. No, it depends on God's word. Sexual immorality is sexual immorality. Lying is lying. It's not telling a fib. It's lying. So truth is, that is the definition of truth. Put on the breastplate of righteousness. Shod your feet with the gospel of peace. These are all ways that we stand against the schemes of the enemy. And I want to say a word about shodding your feet with the gospel of peace. This word shod means to bind. Now, I need you to know that I can just kick off that shoe that I have on. I can worm out of my tennis shoes, can't you? I put this baby on. Oh, wrong shoe. If I put this shoe on, it's got an ankle strap. I cannot get it off. It's going to take me a while because I never wear them. Well, anyway, you get the idea. If I put this on, my ankle and my foot are bound with it. I'm now bound in this shoe. I can't kick it off. Okay? We need to understand something very important right here, where it says to shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. That word means bind. It was you put the gospel of peace, you put it, and it's bound on you. This is part of the warfare. This is part of the warfare. Just as Jesus went through all the cities preaching and teaching the gospel, the good news of salvation, we are supposed to have bound to our feet the good news of the gospel that people can be saved through Jesus Christ and have peace with God. And it's supposed to go with me wherever I go. I'm supposed to have this on with me, not just when I go to church or Bible study. I'm supposed to have this on with my foot when I go to work. I'm supposed to have it on with my foot when I go to a meeting. I'm supposed to be prepared to be able to encourage and answer questions about God and Christ. The more I do that, I'm advancing on enemy territory. We're to be engaged. We're to be engaged. Yes, there are times we just stand firm. But why do you wear shoes? You wear them to walk, right? And Jesus walked. And our lives as Christians is described as walks with Christ. We have this gospel of peace. We have the shield of faith. And again, I don't know, Cynthia's just right here. Y'all, I made us a shield. You can't see this, but we have the shield of faith. And when I hold up my faith, you could throw ketchup at me right now, couldn't you? Would it get me? And look here, what it says in our verse. It says, in addition to all, taking up the shield of faith with which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. When Satan threw his flaming arrows at me this week, I had my faith. And those arrows came and they went. Pfft. I didn't accept them. I didn't accept them. You have so much more empowerment in your thought life, in your actions and behavior, because you have God's Spirit in you. You have God's Word with you. You have the power of salvation, and God wants you to know it. You have hope. Live out loud. Process your experiences through your hope in God and His eternal plans. Love out loud. Believe and act on God's command to love your neighbor and pray for them even when plan B happens. And laugh out loud. Exalt. Rejoice. Not in the negative situation, but rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Amen. Oh, Father, how we do thank you that you disarm the enemy with the truth, and we can hold up the truth to our minds and not let anything come into our thought lives that has not been approved and passed by you. That is miraculous news. And Father, we can hold up our faith, and we can put on that helmet of salvation, which is very powerful. We can walk and not just stand, but we can carry with us the good news as you command us to, so that we also are able to have an impact on others who are still caught in enemy territory. Bless these women. Help them work it in and work it out this week, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.